This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
I really want to say a huge, gigantic thank you to every member of Salvation Center San Antonio. Yes. Yes, yes. Believe me, everywhere I go, I brag on us. And that's the truth. You know, because the kind of things that we do, when people hear about those things, they think maybe we are 1,000, 2,000 member church. Because when we do exceedingly and abundantly. And my prayer for everyone under the sound of my voice today, that God will bless you exceedingly and abundantly. In the name of Jesus. I remember last year when there was a crisis in Puerto Rico, and I came and I addressed the church. As a church, we contributed about $10,000. And that's how much relief efforts materials we sent to Puerto Rico. And last Sunday, I came with another plea to us. And to the glory of God, by the time service was over, we had collected $9,699. And during the week, somebody else brought $200. So we collected a total of $9,899. That is your giving. That is what you did over and beyond your tithe and offering. God will remember you for good. I don't want you to ever forget that you are precious in the sight of the Most High God. The Bible says that by this will they know that you are my disciples, when you love one another the same way I have loved you. You know, and there are some of you that you might not be pleased with what you gave. Don't worry about it. Your time is coming. In the name of Jesus. I want to kind of emphasize the youth announcement. Let's put our hands together for the youth. You know, I take full responsibility for everything that has not gone right with our youth ministry. But our youth ministry is coming back with power. Somebody say with power. It's coming with oomph, oomph. It's going to be great. It's going to be excellent. It's really going to be excellent. The program on Wednesday, June 11th that was announced, they are meeting in church, but it's not happening in church. They are going to a great adventure somewhere. Because if you are thinking like me, and they say they are meeting in church, they say $25, I would say, for what? You know, so it's beyond that. You know, and afterwards they're going to be having dinner. So please, there's a consent form that has to be signed because they are minors. We are in America. Excuse me, somebody. This is America. So we need consent of parents. It means any child, any teenager that doesn't have a consent cannot go with them on the trip. You know, so please get the consent. I believe Sister BC has the forms. You know, so where's Sister BC? Okay. Ushers, please go to Sister BC and get the forms from her. All right? So speak to the ushers immediately after the service to get the consent form. She has, give to the ushers. The ushers are the best people to hold it. So please talk to any of the ushers. They have to have the consent form today because the event is Wednesday. So please don't let your child miss out on a great opportunity. And also, I want to reiterate the announcement about dinner with the pastors. Because God does not waste. Our God is not a wasteful God. You will notice every time Jesus did a miracle, fed 5,000, they picked up the pieces afterwards, and they told us there were 12 baskets remaining. it's important for us to take a head count so we know how many people are coming. The dinner for the dinner with the pastors is essentially an opportunity for those that recently joined Salvation Center to know how we operate and what we do, why we do what we do. And then you can ask any questions of myself or of any of the leaders. So please, if you are planning to attend, which we would love for you to attend, especially if you have never attended one, please, this Saturday, it's going to be at 5 p.m. right here in church, but we would love for you to please sign up. You need to sign up so that we know how many people are coming so that we can have enough for everyone as they come. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I have satisfied everybody. Now let me go to my own assignment. Amen. Let's bow our hearts for a word of prayer. Everlasting God, the all and the mighty God, the one who was, the one who is, and the one that will be forevermore. Lord, we thank you. How much you love us. You love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And you said, whosoever will believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Daddy, we thank you for your grace that is made abundantly available unto us. Jehovah, as we look into your word of life this morning, Holy Spirit, you are the revealer of truth. Reveal the truth of the word of God to each and every one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Teach us by yourself. Take control of my lips and of my tongue, that I may speak like the pen of a ready writer and declare your word with simplicity and accuracy. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So for those of you that have the church app, if you don't, you should download it. There are some benefits to that. We're going to be pushing some notifications through the app now so that you can stay connected with the church. But if you have the app already, you can download. You can go to the app. The sermon note for today is already posted there. And I apologize. Last Sunday, I said it was there. And after I got home, I was trying to look at it myself, and it was not there. But it's the first time I believe that has happened. Yes, Sister Omi? It's the first time. Uh-huh. She's my timekeeper. It's the first time, but I apologize for that. But today, I checked it before the service, and I know it's already uploaded. So we continue from where we left off the last time. We're talking about rapture. Is it a myth or is it the truth? And today I'm going to take my text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verse 50 to 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 54. What am I saying, dear brothers and sisters? What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that your physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Cannot. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. What we will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. Verse 53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Verse 54. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. You know, one of the exciting things I love about the Bible is the Bible gives us a 360 degrees view of life. What do I mean by that? The Bible tells us about eternity past. It tells us about the very beginning, things that happened way before us. And it tells us about the present time, the life that we will live in the present time. And then the Bible goes into the future and it tells us about the end times. It tells us about the end times. The study of the end times is what is called in theology eschatology. And one of the events of the end times is rapture, which we have started to talk about. The Webster Dictionary defines rapture as a state or experience of being carried away by overwhelming emotions. And then he qualifies it, he said, but for the Christians, the rapture means the final assumption, that is, rising, the final assumption of Christians into heaven during the end time according to the Christian theology. Friends, there is such thing as rapture that is going to happen. There's a time that is coming that Jesus will appear in the sky. And those that have lived a godly life, all of a sudden will defy the laws of gravity. And they will join him in the air. The questions before us today are, why rapture? What is the purpose of rapture? And what I want to do is kind of like go to the beginning and then from the beginning bring us, from the beginning of time, bring us to the present and then we'll launch into eschatology. How about that? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. You see, when God created man, he created an exact replica of himself. He said, let us create man in our own image and in our own likeness. It means when he created man with the idea that man will be exactly like God. But unfortunately, by chapter 3, man disobeyed God. I've told us often that when you talk about holiness, holiness is simply complete, absolute, total obedience to God. That's what holiness is. QED. Simple. Don't look for any other dramatic definition. Oh, when you are holy, you have to look like this. When you are holy, you have to wear something like... No. Don't worry about all of those. Just read the Bible. Know what the Bible says and do what the Bible says. Or you come to a Bible-believing church like this where the Bible is taught. When the Bible is taught, hear what has been taught, understand what has been taught, and live by those things that have been taught. And you are holy. They disobeyed God, and that created a problem. In Genesis chapter 2, 15 to 17, Genesis 2, 15 to 17, the Bible says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him. Somebody say, he warned him. He gave him a warning. He warned him. He said, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. It amazes me that there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there was a tree of life, but they chose death over life. It amazes me that God did not tell them, you cannot eat of the tree of life. He didn't tell them that. It means they could have eaten from there. He said, you could eat of every tree in the garden but one. Isn't it interesting that of all the things that is made available to you, the only one that is not available to you is the one you want. And do you know, we still live like that till today. The moment they tell you don't do it, your body begins to shake. Why did they say don't do it? What do you mean don't go there? What do you mean I cannot? And all your body is shaking. You just want to do what has been said. You understand me? Perhaps you are struggling with something like that right now. The Lord will give you strength to conquer and to overcome. In Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1 through 6, the devil, the serpent, convinced Eve to disobey God. And they both disobeyed God, not just Eve, because she gave to her husband who was present while she was being deceived, and they both ate. They ate and they disobeyed God. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, I like the way the easy-to-read Bible version puts this because it makes the point for me very well. 1 Samuel 15:23. It says, refusing to obey is as bad as the sin of sorcery. The Old King James and the most other translations say rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. But rebellion is a refusal to obey. You disobey. You said to disobey is like witchcraft. It's a terrible sin before the Most High God. So the Bible tells us that they were cursed. When you read Genesis chapter 3, 14 to 19, God began to hand it to each of them. To the serpent first, and then to the woman, and then to the man. In verse 19, the Bible says, by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were. For you were made from dust, and to the dust you will return. This is part of the curse. What that tells me is that when God created man, man was not supposed to return to the dust. Because when he created man, the Bible says he made him in his own image and in his own likeness so that man will live forever like God. But the moment man disobeyed, pollution came into man. And as a result of that pollution, sin came. Can you please help me tell your neighbor that sin is poison? Oh, let's put it in a politically correct way. Disobedience is poison. And there are consequences for every disobedience. There are consequences for every sin. So in Genesis chapter 3, you read 22 and 23. The Bible says, then the Lord God said, look, the humans have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take the fruit from the tree of life and eat? Say, then they will live forever. So it means the faulty system will now be perpetuated. And God said, we can't have that. So then in verse 23, the Bible says, so the Lord God banished them from the garden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. So the question I asked myself when I read that was, so how was he eating before? He was eating from what God already provided for. He was not tilling the ground. Everything was already provided for him, but he was kicked out of the garden. Friends, my plea to us today is that every disobedience, please correct in your life. Amen. Because the Bible says before the devil will be dealt with in our lives, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it said your own obedience must first of all be complete before God will deal with the disobedience of the devil in your life. So for many people, the things that you are complaining about, you probably continue to complain about because you yourself, you are disobedient to God. It says, until your obedience is complete, then God will not avenge the enemy concerning you. I pray that God will give you the grace to be obedient in the name of Jesus. You know, so as a consequence of their disobedience, God said, no, we can't allow this to continue forever. Man will have to die. Man will have to go back to the dust from which I created him. But God was still gracious. Because when you read in Genesis chapter 5, I mean, they were living for hundreds of years. 900 years. He lived for 900 and something years, and he was not. He had sons and daughters, and he was not. They didn't accomplish much. Even though they had long life, their long life was meaningless. They did not accomplish. In fact, one of them invented polygamy. He had no precedence for it. He just decided to marry two wives. His father did not marry two. His grandfather did not marry two. His great-grandfather, nobody. He just said, look, this one wife is not enough. Let me get a supplement. The one wife that God has blessed me with. I'm still believing God for more grace to fulfill and do all of my obligation. Not to now have two. You know, then I have to. Don't let's go there. Praise the Lord. The one he gave me, I've not loved enough. Then I'll add another one. How can you complete it? It's not possible. Anyway, don't let's get distracted. So, they were living long life, but long useless life. May you not live long useless life. In the mighty name of Jesus. There's somebody that I know, he will say, Pastor, when I grow up, I don't want to be like this man. He was an older person than me, and that other man was older than him. And he will always say, Pastor, when I grow up, I don't want to be like this man. Amen. What's the point of living long, useless life? Long, meaningless life. You will live long and you will live well. In the name of Jesus. So God looked at them, that the long life he gave them, they were just sinning the more. They created different means and designs of sins. So in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said, my spirit will not put up with humans for so long a time. For they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. So God cut it down. As a matter of consequence for their actions. But you see, our God is a merciful God. Our God is a good God. God then put in place a plan to redeem man, to redeem you and to redeem me. When you get home, you can read Hebrews chapter 9, 11 to 15. Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. The Bible begins to tell us the plan that God put in place to redeem man ultimately, that it will not be a yearly thing, it will be once and for all. Because in the Old Testament, when you read the book of Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, they tried to, God listed all the sins that were known to them. And he said, for every sin, if you sin this kind of sin, you will make this kind of sacrifice. If it's this other kind of sin, this is the kind of sacrifice. Turtle, dove, bullock, goat, lamb, ram, every different sins, different sacrifice. But God put together a perfect plan. Somebody say a perfect plan. A perfect plan to redeem you and to redeem me. The Bible tells us that for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In Hebrews 9, let's read 11 and 12. The Bible says, so Christ has now become the high priest. You see, back in the day, they had a high priest that goes into the Holy of Holies to make sacrifice. Before he himself can enter the Holy of Holies, he has to kill a bullock to cleanse his own sin. Then as he's going inside, he's going with two goats. On one goat, he will lay his hands and put the sin of the nation on that goat. And then on the other goat, they will release is the scapegoat. All of that ceremony, God said, enough already. Because he loves you and he loves me. He said, enough of it already. Enough of it already. So Christ has become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place. Can we read that together? With his own blood, he entered once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Who will reject or deny such a plan for redemption? But you see, because of this body, one of the reasons you and I need to be saved, so that we are in Christ. When we are in Christ, we have a ticket for a transformation that is going to happen to us. In our text says that at that time, people that have died, they will rise from the grave. But when they rise, they are not going to rise with this flesh. Can I tell you something? This flesh is like a vehicle. How many of us came to church this morning and decided to sit in the car because you love your car so much? No. It was just a means from getting from there to here. Once you are here, you get out of the car and you come and do the business that you have for the day, right? The same thing, when that time comes, we're going to check out of this body. Hallelujah. We're going to shed this body because this body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says. He said, for this mortal body cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And the people that are in Christ, when Jesus appears, they will have a glorified, transformed body. And because it is a new body, that body defies gravity. Gravity cannot hold that body down. If I begin to float in the air now, that will be a miracle. Yeah? Or I'm walking on water or walking in the air, that will be a miracle. But with a glorified body, that is no miracle. That is normal. One of the things that will prevent people from joining him in the air is because their body has not been transformed. So the weight of their body, pulled by gravity, will keep them on the ground as people are flying into the air and taking off. I pray on that day, no weight will hold you down. Amen. Oh, no weight will hold you down. Amen. May you remain rapturable until the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus. It says, 1 Corinthians 15 and 50, it says, what I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then in verse 53, it says, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. What a glorious day that day will be. That really is something exciting that we must look forward to. You know, if I have a promise that I've given to my children, I said, oh, if you do such and such, by this time, I am going to do this for you. What do you think they are going to do? Every day they are careful. They don't want to break the rule. You don't want to break the rule? Because you know if you break the rule, that thing that you really want, you're not going to get it. What do? You are eagerly looking forward to that day coming, and you are careful how you live. Many believers today have become careless with how they live. You know why? Because they are not eagerly looking forward to that day anymore. If you have such expectation, you have understanding of how glorious rapture will be, you nothing in this world will distract you. You are very focused, laser focused, because you know what is coming. You know what is coming is glorious. You know what is coming is wonderful. You know what is coming is excellent. You know what is coming is perfect. Hallelujah. It says, our corruptible flesh thus cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus has shown us this example. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was not this physical body that he rose with. His body was already glorified. That's why the disciples could gather in a room. They are meeting. They locked the door because they are afraid. They locked the door. Family, they put a bolt on the door. And then as they are talking, Jesus just shows up. He say, hello, how you guys doing? Why? Because the molecular structure of the glorified body is not the same. It's not matter. It's not matter that is weighing you down. It is different. It is heavenly. It is glorious. My prayer for you is that you will not be distracted. Amen. Friends, there's a lot of things ready to distract us. The Bible says in our scripture of the month, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and I'm going to read 17 with it. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And then first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with him. We will be with the Lord forever and ever. And when we are with him, there is no more dying there. There is no pain there. There is no crying there. There is none of that. It is joy, joy, everlasting, forever and ever. Believer, child of God, what is it that you are going through right now? What is it that is shaking your faith? What is it that is disturbing your mind? I want you to know that there's a plan that God has for you. There's a place that is taking you ultimately where forever and ever is going to be glorious joy and excitement. I'm telling you the truth. If you get carried away with the earth, oh, with the hustle and bustle of life, I have to live in the best house. I have to drive the best car. I have to have the most money. I have to be the most beautiful. You are chasing. Shadow is terrible. I mean, shadow is good. Mirage is worse. Because if there's a shadow, it means there's something real close by. When you are chasing this stuff, there's nothing real close by it. It's a mirage. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That's what the scripture says. Heaven and what? Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. And those who abide in his word, there is a guaranteed plan for them. Listen to me. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 talks to us about two faiths that we have in life. He said, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Everybody will have a new body. But some people's body is for them to enjoy in everlasting life, and some people's body is for them to endure everlasting shame and disgrace. That will not be your portion. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So in the light of this, how must I live? That's where we were last week. Say, because of this, this present implications of rapture, in the light of these things, how must I live? So last week we talked about we must always be watchful and ready. And number two, we said we must be faithful stewards. Number three, I said we must eagerly expect his coming. And number four, I said we must endure suffering with patient endurance. Whatever trouble, pain you have cannot last eternally. It's not possible. Any pain, any sickness, any disease, as long as you are walking with Christ, when you die, that's victory. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we read earlier, he said, death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen? He said, death has been swallowed up in victory. And not only that, he said, death, where is your sting? Because you have nothing on me anymore. I'm risen in Christ. Death has nothing, no control, no power, nothing has nothing on me. And that's why it's important that we must endure suffering with patient endurance. Number five, we must wait patiently. We must wait patiently. It's like someone that is a permanent resident. You know, for permanent residency, you have to be permanent resident for 5 years, right? After 5 years, you can apply for citizenship. But do you know that after 5 years, if there are issues about your life, they are not going to give you that citizenship. So while you are waiting and eagerly waiting for your citizenship, what do? You are careful about how you live your life. Wait patiently. Don't be in a hurry. Eternity, we cannot even begin to imagine what eternity is. We can't wrap our minds around it. We think of 1,000 years. That's very long. Amen? That's very long. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. If you are going to enter into eternity with God, then wait patiently. Live your life with care. Watch and pray. Seek the Lord. Seek to please Him. Seek to walk with Him. You know, during the week, I was listening to the radio, and I had Pastor John Hagee was on radio. And guess what? He was preaching on rapture. I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. God is speaking to you particularly today. Oh, don't think about somebody else that needs to hear the message. No. It's about you. It's about you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. The Bible says, and they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of coming judgment. God is going to judge the world. But the judgment is not for you. Amen. Number six, very quickly. We must live holy. So number five, the missing word is patiently. And number six, the missing word is holy. So in light of the rapture, we're talking about the rapture. Then how must I live my life in light of rapture? I must live holy. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, 2 and 3. It said, dear friends, we are already God's children. How many people are God's children? Shout hallelujah. It said, dear friends, we are already God's children. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. It said, but when we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he is really. And verse 3, it says, and all who have this eager expectation, careful now, read slowly. All who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure. pure, will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. When your eyes are focused, you know, there's a statement is total rubbish and nonsense. Has no relevance to the life that we live now. I hear people say, oh, some people are so heavenly focused that they are of no earthly good. I don't know anybody like that, do you? No, I'm serious. Do you know anybody like that? It doesn't exist. It is not, you know, it sounds philosophical. It's so heavenly focused of no earthly good. What does that really mean? People are so earthly focused that it doesn't look like heaven exists. That's the truth. In fact, there was somebody that once said, is that the way Christians are hustling for money and riches and everything with unbelievers, it's as though this earth is better than the heaven they say they are going. Oh, because if you believe the other place is better than here, then you will invest more of your time in there than here. But what happens? 24 hours of the day, if you give 30 minutes to invest in heaven, you have done a good job. We must live holy because we know rapture is coming. And it's going to come like a thief in the night. You know, when Noah was building the ark, nobody believed him. They thought he was a crazy man. So as we are talking about rapture, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Tell us about prosperity. We know he's coming, but let us enjoy life. Oh. If you are in Christ Jesus, you can't be hungry, you can't be broke. Oh, the Bible says he will meet all my need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He's a good father. Oh no, he's a responsible father. My children can never wonder if there will be food or there will be no food. For them to begin to pray to God, oh Father, please let us have food, they should use their faith for something else. Because whatever I have to do, I will provide. I joined the U.S. Army when I got here because things were not looking good. No job. The job I found was not paying anything close to what made sense. So I said, I will join the army. I joined the army. And God used that to bring me to destiny because the military is what brought me to San Antonio. Friends, Colossians 3, 4, and 5. It says, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Amen. You will share in all of his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. It says that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Please tell your neighbor, he's coming back. I know it seems like a long time. You say, oh, they've been saying this for a while now. But believe me, he's coming back. And his appearing is nearer than we can imagine. Oh, it's not as long as what has passed. It's not going to be another 2,000 years. I believe that with all of my heart. It's not going to be another 2,000 years. His coming is near. His coming is near. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. It says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. I have a good friend. Oh, this my friend is blessed. God has blessed him. In dollars, he's a millionaire. In dollars. he will tell me, say, ah, Koye, fire. Fire. He said, fire is going to consume everything. Fire. Fire is going to consume all these things that you treasure. I have gold trinkets. Is that what they call it? Trinkets? Something. Everything. Blink, blink. Everything. Fire. Fire. Say fire. Fire. You see, you are afraid to say fire. Whether you say it or fire is going to consume everything. Everything will be destroyed by fire. Nothing remaining. Nothing. Not a single thing. He already told us, I will not destroy the world by water anymore. But by fire, everything will be destroyed. Everything. Anything you can see, touch, and feel will be destroyed. Everything. So if all you are living for is, let's build this house. Oh, let's buy this car. Oh, let's... Fire. 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 Say fire. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. It says, and now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. The Lord God Almighty came into the Garden of Eden and called on Adam, and they went into hiding. How is it that God is walking to a man and the man is running away from God? The creator, the maker of the universe is walking to you and you are running away from God. It beats me. Ah, Lord, anything I will do that will make me run away from you, may I never do it. In the name of Jesus. He said, watch how you live. Maintain your fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. So watch out for that. Finally, number seven. Number seven, we must be mission focused. In the light of the rapture, you and I must be mission focused. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And I read, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. And then he gives us an admonition. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, in season or out of season. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. God is saying to you and I, in the light of the return of Christ, we must do the work of an evangelist. Preach the word. Oh, don't say that's the work for pastor. I will do my job. Don't worry about me. You do yours. You do yours. On the job. In school. He says, preach the word. Because he is coming back. He said, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is coming back to set up his kingdom. He said, in the light of that, please preach the word. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. You know, at the end of July, this theme will be over. We will move to another theme. But this is not just a word for July. This is a word for living. Can somebody say a good amen to that? Because it's coming back, it says, keep your eyes on the mission. Know why you are here. Know why you have been saved. Know what you have been called to do. Keep your eyes on the mission. Be mission focused. Don't live lackadaisical, I don't care life, or selfish life, like the whole life is all about you. That's how most of us live. Oh, our worries in life is, how will I get this money? How will I pay this bill? How will I do this? How will I do that? And the way I describe it is very simple. Most people are living what I call oversized life. Oversized life. You buy suit, you charge it to credit card. Which part of saving to buy your own clothing do people not understand? credit cards are meant for emergencies. It's not an increase in salary for you. You are now going, you are swiping up and down. Say, I have $22,000 credit card. You are just swiping. You just gave yourself a pay increase. I'm sorry for that person. Not you, because I know they are not in church today. It's just a message for you to preach to them out there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, as I round up. It says, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in flames. Please rise to your feet. My simple summary for somebody this afternoon is there is an end. There is an end. An end is coming. Oh, the word this morning may not have fed into your emotions, but it's the truth. I would rather speak the truth than make you feel good. Because I'm accountable to God. I'm going to give an account to God. That the, like Paul said to Timothy in the text that we just read, say, encourage your people with good teaching, with the word of God. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Bow your head, every eye closed, and ask yourself, am I ready? If Jesus will come today, if he will come today, is there any weight that will keep you down? If he comes today, will you have the glorified body that will defy gravity and meet him in the air? It's an important question to ask yourself. That's all life is about. The Bible says, it said the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking and building and buying. It said the kingdom of God is in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what his kingdom is about. If there's anything that you need to repent of, why don't you go ahead and talk to him? That I may see you, Lord. You can sing the song softly. Open the eyes of my heart. Talk to the Lord, people of God. Talk to him. Talk to him. What are you struggling with right now? Jesus is here, and is here to help you. Is here to help you. Is here to break every yoke. Is here to remove from your life whatever is hindering you from living and working for him. Say, help me, Lord. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. I would love to see you next Sunday, but Jesus may come before next Sunday. And if he does, we're not going to have service. And I pray that you won't come to service. If he comes before next Sunday, that is. Lift up your hands. Let's sing that song together now.
Holy, 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 holy
Hebrews 9 verse 28. Hebrews 9 28 says, so also Christ was offered once for all time, as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. Listen, say it will come again, not to deal with our sins, because we have accepted him and he has cleansed us of all our sins. Say not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Listen to me. Salvation, we say, is instant, but salvation in the sense of this text is also progressive. Because there's an ultimate salvation that is going to happen when Jesus comes to take the beloved home with him. Now we are completely, totally, absolutely now saved. May you not miss out on that day. May you not miss out on that day. May I not miss out on that day. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your word, but because indeed your word is powerful. It's able to, it's sharp, it's powerful. It's able to divide the marrow, to divide the good from the bad. Thank you for speaking to us today. Father, I pray that we will not be forgetful hearers, but Lord, we'll be doers of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over this congregation and those watching us online, or those that will be listening on podcasts, on iTunes, through whatever media. Father, I pray that, Lord, you will keep us. Lord, that you will uphold us. Surely there is an end, that they help us to the finish line. Lord, you have not brought us this far to leave us, that they remember the sacrifice of your Son, and by your grace, carry us with your everlasting arms. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray over your people that the sinner will sin no more. In the name of Jesus. The liar will lie no more. The adulterer will no longer commit adultery. The fornicator will repent of his fornication. The thief will stop stealing. The one that is dishonoring you will stop dishonoring you and begin to honor the Most High God. We thank you, blessed Redeemer. We give you glory and we give you praise. Be thou exalted forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.